I'm really excited just to see what the Lord is doing in our lives and in the lives of each one of you. As a way of introduction, how many of you know that, you know, right now the church is, people are looking at the church, eyes on the church, you know, in the times that we live, they're really dangerous times. Sin has been increasing, crime has increased, and everybody's looking at the church, see how they respond to all this, right? They're just watching us, how we respond to the social problems, to the moral problems that we have in this nation. Even here in Independence, you know, we see all these kids coming back to school. How are we going to deal with those things? You know, when we get fights in front of our church here, how are we going to deal with those? How can we reach all those kids that are, you know, just with trouble in their lives? Oh, eyes on them, because you know what? The way we respond to those things, people will see Christ. The way you respond to things, people will see Christ through you. In the 1880s, let me see again my date. In the 1800s, there was a father, Father Damien. So he went to this island there in Hawaii. And I want to try to see if I can pronounce it right. Molokai? Yeah, Molokai. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Molokai. So he went there because there was a group of people there that they had, they were lepers. And so they were put away there. So he went there to minister to them. At one point he said, well, it's time for me to go. As he was going back home, he realizes, he saw his arm and he had leper in his hand. And he says, you know what? This is a sign from God. I'm not leaving. I'm staying here with them. And so he stayed with him. Instead of going back to his house and back to his country and get the treatment to be cured, he said, no, I'm going to stay with them. And he died with them. He died after a couple of years. I think it was 20 years later he died of this disease. People were watching him, and you can read books about him. So people are watching how we respond to things. And people, last week we were in chapter 15, and people were watching Jesus on the cross, and they were making fun of him. Come on down. You say you're the Son of God. Come down. Help us and help yourself. Come on. But as we see that how Jesus responded, people are like, whoa. And we're going to see today how the fruit of Jesus' death is still right now growing through us, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. We ask you, Father, that your Spirit, Lord, will be with us, Lord, that your Spirit will move inside of our hearts, Lord. Lord, as we bear our cross, Lord, as people see how we bear our cross, Lord, that they can come to know you, Father. Father, that we need to surrender our lives, that we need to die to ourselves, even in the midst of all this turmoil in this country, Lord. And as we see the pain, Father, in other countries with earthquakes and floods and fires, Lord, we can trust in you, knowing that you are in control of everything, Father. I pray, Father, that your Spirit will speak through me, Lord, that it's not my thoughts, that it's not my own philosophy, Lord, but that it's your word will penetrate our hearts. As we see the lives of men and women who were following you, Lord, in that moment when you were on the cross, paying the price for us, Lord, making the atonement for our sins. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Mark chapter 15, and we're going to be there, and it's going to be take courage. Serving a king. How many of you serve a king? I can only see one person. Come on, guys. Who's serving the king? Amen. I'm serving a king. We're serving a king who is in heaven at the right hand of the Lord. In John chapter 12, verse 23 and 24, and it's going to be here on your screen, it says, and Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. These are the words of Jesus Christ saying to the disciples, hey, listen, I am going to die, but the fruit that is going to come from this is going to be amazing. You and I are part of that fruit. You and I, we are part of that fruit that when Jesus died, we are that. Last week, I asked you this question, and it's going to be there on the screen. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Last week, we saw that people, even though they were making fun of him and blaspheming him and saying all these things, Jesus He stands for who he is. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. In Mark chapter 10, verse 45, and it's going to be on your screen, Jesus said, "For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many," for us. And Jesus is on the cross paying that, and he's fulfilling that prophecy, fulfilling God's word in his life. Let's go to Mark chapter 15, verse 37. Chapter 15, verse 37 says, "And Jesus cried out a loud voice and breathed his last." And we know that this was the last moment of Christ. John tells us that he says, "It is finished. It is done. It is done." There was darkness on the land. And not just darkness on the land, but there was darkness on the people's heart. There was evil in their hearts. They were looking at Jesus and saying, "This is it. We're done. We can say we have victory." But in reality, the victory was in Christ. There on the cross, their hearts was filled with darkness. Jesus went willingly to die for us, for you and me. He gave himself as a living sacrifice. And there was fruit because of the work that he did on the cross, because how he dealt the cross, how the punishment that he took, he didn't open his mouth. Isaiah tells us that he didn't open his mouth. He went straight to the cross for us. Verse 38 says that the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Matthew tells us that there was an earthquake, that the rock split. So can you imagine when Jesus was, when he gave his last breath, there was this earthquake. Can you imagine the fear that it was there for the people? Suddenly there's an earthquake. I'm going to show you a little video from the Passion of the Christ. And I know it's a little bit too much, but please watch this. So we see here in Mark chapter 15 that the veil was cut in half from top to bottom. Jesus has on the cross has given us an open door to the Father, because only the high priest could go into the holies of holies. Now the tabernacle was separate; that was divided in two places. It was the holy place and the holies of holies. And before the high priest could go even to the holies of holies, he had to do a sacrifice. So Jesus comes and breaks that veil, that separation from us and God. Because the high priest would take the blood and will sprinkle there on top of the bema seat, there with the angels, on top of the Ark of the Covenant for our sins. He will make atonement for us. But now with Jesus' death, that curtain was cut in half. And so now we have this open door for us to go to Christ through Jesus Christ. We can go to the Father through him. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24, it says, "For Christ has entered not into the holy place made with hands, which are a copy of the true things, but into heaven himself, now to appear in the presence of God in our behalf." Jesus, right at the moment that he died, goes into the presence of God and presents himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin for you and me. He was thinking about you. So Jesus, he's taking all of our sins to the Father. So we don't have to do any more sacrifices. So we don't have to be under the law. The work of the cross has eternal rewards. When you come to Christ and you surrender to the Lord, you have eternal life through Christ Jesus. And there was this earthquake there. You know, and we were studying Exodus chapter 19. There's Moses going up into the mountain Sinai, right? Is that where it is? Sinai. So he goes up into the mountain, and there's fire, and there's the mountain is shaking. It is shaking because, you know, the presence of God is there, and that's where God gives Moses the law. And in here, there's an earthquake where God is saying, "We're done with the law." Jesus is fulfilling the law. Romans chapter 10, verse 4 says, "For Christ is the end of the law, for righteousness to everyone who believes." That now we're saved by grace. that we don't have to do anything. James doesn't have to take a little sacrifice to the church. Well, you know, I sinned this week. I got to bring a sacrifice. No longer that anymore. He can just come to the Father and say through Jesus Christ, Lord, I'm sorry that I sinned against you. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we are cleansed. We are redeemed by him. And people are watching Jesus here. Because if you want to live by the law, if you break one, you break all. And you're condemned. The power of the cross. Jesus bearing his cross. Because now that Jesus has done that, he has opened the door to the Father. Hebrews tells us that we can draw near with a true heart to him. When you go and pray, you go into the presence of God, the Almighty, the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us, draws to the Father. You know, there's some times when you feel that you need to pray. How many times do you feel like, oh, I need to pray for my friend? And you're like, no, he's fine. No, you need to pray for him. That is the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit saying, come. Come in my presence and pray for your friend. Pray for your son. That we can draw near with the true heart, it says there in Hebrews. Let us come together. And so the picture is this, that everybody's watching Jesus. How he reacts. Remember, they're making fun of him. And the things that he says, Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. John, he tells John, John, there's your mother, take care of her. To the criminal next to him that it was making fun of him, he says, remember me. And Jesus didn't turn around and say, well, dude, you were making fun of me. Why should I remember you? No, he says, truly, truly, I'll tell you, today you will be with me. Today. And because of those things, and you got to remember, the soldiers were listening. People were listening to Jesus. He was not complaining. He was not saying, come on, take me down. He wasn't saying that. He was doing this for me and you. Verse 39 here in Mark chapter 15. So when that centurion who stood opposite of him saw that he cried out like this and breathed his last, he said, truly, this man is the Son of God. Everything that Jesus was doing, everybody else was looking at him. Matthew tells us that, it says there in Matthew chapter 27, 54 says, when the centurions and those who were with him kept watching over Jesus, saw the earthquake, what took place, they feared greatly and said, truly, this man is the Son of God. How many men do you think this man, this centurion, and this guy was one of the elites of the elites. He was a mighty man. He was a Navy SEAL. He was one of those guys who, you know what, you don't mess with, you know. You don't. And this guy has 100 men under him. And so he has to stand firm. And for him to say, man, this man is the Son of God. The Romans had a lot of gods. He didn't say he is one of the sons. No, he says he is the Son of God. He's making there a profession of faith right there. Why? Because the way Jesus handled the cross, how he bare his cross. Even Pilate said, this man is innocent. And this man, you know, he said it's innocent. The Jewish leader says, this guy is a blasphemy. He's saying that he's the Son of God. He's pointing fingers at me. Even this man says that this man is the Son of God. He's watching a man like you, just like you and me. He's dying, and now he's dead. But at the same time, he says he is the Son of God. There's a lesson here for you and me. Because whatever Jesus is doing there, it had moved his heart. His faith was shaken. Not just the earthquake, but his faith was shaking. Because he saw Jesus just like, how can this man take everything and not just curse all these people? How come this man can I say to all these people, just die? There's a lesson here for us to take a walk with. And it's going to be here on the screen. Some people will only see Jesus Christ through the cross that you bear. The way you take your cross, the way you handle things in your life when you are going through turmoils or storms and problems, people are going to see that. And you are going to be a witness to them. You're going to be a witness. And people are going to come to you and say, man, we saw you this way. And now you're like, Even though you lost everything, we can see you still worshiping God. There's a joy in your life. You're not saying, you know what, I don't want anything with God anymore. It's a lie. You know, all this about Christ is wrong. No, you still continue in your faith strong. Some people will see Christ through you. And that's how it has to be. People out there right now, with everything that's going on in the world, with all these agendas that they're going around, people need to see Christ through us, through you at work. People need to see you at work, at school. If you're a student, they need to see Christ. They don't need to see you. See, Christ redeemed us through the cross. But as we live our lives, as we bear our cross, and people will come and see us in our homes, in our works, when you go to the store, when somebody cuts you off, when somebody throws you the one finger, right? When somebody says something inappropriate to you, how are you going to respond? Like Jesus or like yourself? And sometimes we answer the wrong way, right? I mean, I do it sometimes. There's no pastor who sins. They're all sinners. Jesus paid the price. The pain and the suffering was a witness to people. So this soldier right there, this man heard everything. He saw Jesus and said, man, he is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. We need to use our pain. We need to use our lives so people can come to him. In your lives, you have those centurions that they're watching you. In your life, you have those friends who are not believers, and they're like watching you. Every single thing that you say, everything that you share with them, they're watching you. Those centurions are there. They're men and women watching you, watching us. Their faith can be changed by the way you handle your cross, by the way we handle our cross. We have to live a life in a way that people can see the gospel in us. It is hard. It is really hard when people cannot see the grace of God in our lives, through our lives. We have neighbors in our community that they need Christ. How are we going to reach to them? How are we going to reach to them? Our faith has to be real. If we trust in him, it has to be real. I was listening to Pastor Steve Mace. Maybe some of you know him, Pastor Steve Mace from South Bay up in California. He's already with the Lord. But I was listening to one of his messages, and it sounded at first, when I heard it, it sounded a little bit harsh, but then it applied to my heart, and the Lord spoke to me. And so he was saying that one day he was so angry, complaining about the church. And so he went to Pastor Chuck and said, you know, the church, you know, all these people are evil and they're mean and everything. He went over there. And there was Pastor Romaine. He was his assistant. And Pastor Romaine said, well, what's going on, Steve? Well, you know, all these problems and I can't handle it anymore. I'm done. And Pastor Romaine, he was a tough man. He was a tough pastor. And he went over there and he said, hey, there was more pastors, and he said to the pastors, hey, stop. Everybody stop. Everybody stop. This is Pastor Steve Mace from South Bay. And he's a man who teaches the word, but he doesn't apply it to himself. And man, that word to me, it was like, whoa. We need to apply the word of God to us. We need to apply that so people can see Christ through us. We need to handle the problems that we have in faith. Our faith has to be a faith with actions. We deceive ourselves when we come and we sit down and say, hey, everything is good. I don't have to do anything. Sunday is, you know, I come Sunday, I have my communion, you know, I'm good. I'm going to go home and just live my life. But you take Christ into your home. You take Christ into your workplace. You take Christ wherever you go. That's who we are. We bear the image of Christ. We bear the image of Christ. If people see something else, they're going to say, so that's why I don't go to your church. That's why I don't want to go to your church, because they have all these people like you. We continue here in Mark chapter 15, verse 41 and 42. And this is the fruit. This is part of the fruit of Jesus dying on the cross and bearing his cross. And the number says, bear your cross now. It says right there in verse 40, there were also women looking on far from far. among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Les, and Josie, and Salome, and who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. It's amazing, interesting to see women there at the cross. Women looking at Jesus there. You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of women that jump right away to do ministry. And we wait upon men to do ministry. And we had, when we were in California, there was probably like 100 women serving the church. And there's probably like 20 guys serving in the church. Women are always willing to jump in. I mean, if they can handle your kids, they'll handle somebody else's kids, right? But you see the fruit of Christ right there. The fruit of Christ, there's women in there. And you know who else was there? John. John the Beloved. He was there. He was looking at his master, his Lord. And I bet you his heart was broken. And now he's like, now I have to take this and I have to write it down because I need to go and share the pain of my Lord, the suffering of my Lord. If we complain, if we proclaim that Jesus is Lord, where are you? Where's Peter? How come Peter is not next to the cross? Didn't Peter said, hey, I'll follow you to the end. Even if those guys right here don't come, I'll be there. Where's Peter? Where are you? Are you at the cross? Are you carrying your cross? Are you bearing your cross even when it is inconvenient? Because carrying the cross is nothing easy. It's hard. So Jesus, even to his disciples, he gave them basic instructions how to carry their cross. There in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, he says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself. That's basic, right? You have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. That's a basic instruction. And they're breaking that right now because Peter is not there. The other disciples are not there. They're breaking that instruction. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 38 says, and whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Are you willing to bear your cross in front of other people? Are you willing to share Christ to other people, to your neighbors? Oh, hold on. Something happened to my iPad here. Oh, my God. Just give me a second right here. I'm trying to find myself again. See, in our cross, our faith has been tested. Your faith is tested every day. Every morning, you wake up and you have to trust in the Lord. Lord, thank you. Hey, I'm going to go to work. You have to put your faith on work, right? Because you never know if somebody's going to come and hit you or something is going to happen. So your faith is tested. It is a proof of Jesus' love and grace for us. You and I are a testament to those who are around us. And we are here, we see the women now, not just waiting for the Lord to come down because they want to minister to him. But you can see the pain that they're taking in their heart to see their Lord on the cross. Now, our cross has to inspire others too. Just like Jesus inspired others, ours has to inspire others. Our next one is from verse 42 to verse 47. Take courage. Take courage. So the cross, Jesus inspired others. Look at what it says here in Mark chapter 15, verse 42. And when the evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he would have already died. And he sent the centurion. He asked him whether he was already dead. Verse 45 says, and when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph brought a linen shroud and taking him down, wrapped him into the linen shroud and laid him in the tomb that was being cut out of the rock. And when he rolled a stone again into the entrance of the tomb, who was there? The women, all the women again. They saw where he was laid. See, Jesus inspired this man because this man already heard about Jesus and he's looking for the kingdom of God. And not just him. Luke tells us that he's a member of the Sanhedrin. But he says that he didn't agree with the decision about killing Jesus. He was against that. John tells us that he was a disciple of Jesus, but he was in secret. It says right there that he was his disciple. And you know why? It's because if you tell people that you were a disciple of Jesus, then you will be thrown into jail. But we can see that God was using this man because even John chapter 19, verse 39, there's another man there, Nicodemus. Nicodemus went in chapter 3, he went and talked to Jesus. And I bet you that all the questions that Jesus said when he says, you must be born again. You must be born again. And this man went, what? I can't be born again. I'm already old. How can I be that? Jesus shake his faith. He says, man, you don't understand the spiritual things. Nicodemus is there too. And he's coming to serve the Lord. Men, when you bear your cross, you will inspire those Josephs and those Nicodemus and those centurions and those women to come to know Jesus. And you will. The fruit of your cross will be an evidence of you, your relationship with the Lord. Jesus dying on the cross already, giving us fruit. And you see in the book of Acts, he tells his disciple, stay for the promise of the Holy Spirit because you're going to go and be my witness. Wait for the power of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, it comes and what happens? 3,000 people come and surrender their lives to the Lord. This is the work of God. This is the work of Jesus on the cross. Now, how many of you are farmers? No, we don't have any farmers here. I know Larry's not here. He's a farmer. Now, how many of you have gardens or fruit trees? What do you do with your plants? You prune them, right? You go over there and you cut them so they can be healthy, right? Sarah has some, my wife had some roses, and she pruned those roses, but then we saw that they were not growing. They were turning black, and they died. And that was a lesson for me. We had an apple tree in our house, and so a friend of ours came over and they pruned that apple tree. And we were like, yes, we're going to have better apples. You know, they're going to, you know, sweet and everything. And we saw all these branches coming out, like tons of branches. But there was no fruit. There was a couple of fruits. And then they were like growing really small and they will fall down. And guess what? The dogs would not even eat those because they were so sour. And we were like, if he's not going to give us any fruit and he's giving us all these mosquitoes and spiders, we don't want it here. We don't want this in here. So we decided to take the apple tree down. And as we were cutting that tree, even though we pruned that tree, there was a lot of branches that they were dying already. There was a disease on this tree. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear much fruit. Jesus is going to have more fruit through us. If you're willing to let Jesus to prune your life, to take those things that you don't need, to take that extra baggage that you're carrying, the extra things that you're struggling in your life, that secret sin that you have, the secret boyfriend or girlfriend that you have, he's going to take it away if you're willing, because he wants you to be fruitful. Now, God has an understanding of pruning in two perspectives, and I'm going to tell you this here. And it's going to be on the screen. The first one is either God will cut you off or prune you to be more fruitful. When we go through life and you go and you bear your cross, the Lord is going to say, it's time for me to come and cut some of the stuff in your life. And then sometimes we fight against the Lord. We said, no, I like this. I love this. This is my comfort. This is my comfort zone. This is what I like, Lord. I can't let go. And Jesus said, well, then I'm going to cut you off. Because I want fruit. I want real fruit. You know, if my apple tree would have given us, you know, golden apples, I would have never cut that tree. I would have been rich with those golden apples. But it was giving us sour, bitter apples. So the way you bear your cross, people are going to see you. We have to bear our cross in order to bear much fruit. You have to suffer. You have to let go. You have to be crucified with that cross. It is no longer that I live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I used to live before is no longer mine. It's no longer mine. So we got to see ourselves. How much fruit are you bearing? Or are you really carrying your cross? Are you have disciples in your life? What about your friends who work in your family? Did they see you? Did they say, man, I want what he wants, what he has. I want what she has. Because what she has is better what the world is offering me. And you see the world right now is offering this, it's offering kids a temporary relief. Take it. Take drugs. Jesus didn't want to take that wine and that myrrh. He said, I want to feel the pain. I want to feel everything. Because when you are in pain, I want you to understand that I understand you. That I know how painful it is when you lost someone in your life, someone that you love. That I understand that when you're going through trouble, that you lose everything. When my wife and I, we got married, we lost everything. I mean, everything. Our cars got repo. We got kicked out of our apartment. And we end up in a small room in my in-laws' house. And that was painful. That was painful because as a man, I want to provide for my family. And it was hard. But you see, God had a plan for us. And God has a plan for you. Either God is going to trim you, going to prune you to bear more fruit, or he's going to cut you off. Or he's going to cut you off and throw you to the fire. It is your choice. It is our choice. Either we take our cross and we follow Jesus and we bring those who need Christ in their lives. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, as we come to you, Father. Thank you for this word, Father. I pray that you will prune us, Lord, this week. Father, I pray that as we go in our lives, Lord, that people who see us, Lord, they can see you. That their faith can be shaken, Lord. Lord, there's so much pain in this world right now. There's so much evil in this world, Father. We need men and women who are willing to bear their cross, Lord, with you. That their strength is not from them, Lord, that their strength is from the Holy Spirit that dwells in us, Father. I pray, Father, that the Spirit will minister to us through this passage, Lord. That we take this message, Lord, and we don't just leave it on the side. It was a good message, but that we apply your word in our lives, Father. I pray, Father, that the power of the word, Lord, will penetrate our hearts, Lord, and make changes. That we no longer we live, Lord, that but Christ lives in us, Lord, that we crucify ourselves in that cross. That we are crucified with Christ. Father, thank you for taking that separation, Lord, that separate us, Father, and now that we can come to you. Father, I pray if there's anyone in here who wants to confess that you're our Lord, just like this centurion. I pray, Father, that they will make that commitment today. And I want to make a call today. If you're here and you're feeling that, Lord, I need to make that commitment. I need to make that confession of faith. I need to come to you. And I want you to be my Lord and King of my life. Will you raise your hand? Amen. Will you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God will fill your heart with the Holy Spirit, that you will be empowered of the Holy Spirit, that you will outside there and fight the good fight. Because we have a spiritual fight. It's a battle. There's demons. There's Satan who is like a lion trying to see who can be the next victim. Maybe it will be you. Maybe this week the enemy was going to come into your house and knock on your door and say, hey, good morning. I pray that God will give you the strength to bear your cross. Father, I pray, Lord, that this morning your Spirit, Lord, will empower us, Lord, as we go home. Thank you, Father, for this message. Thank you for Mark, Lord. Thank you for Peter, Lord, that he was discipling this young man, Lord. This man, Father, who failed one time, Lord, but we see how you, in the mighty way you used him. Father, there's a lot of marks out there, Lord, who want to serve you, Lord, and they don't feel that they're worthy. Father, you will use anyone. You're using me, Father. Father, I pray, Lord, as we go home, we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We have prayer tonight at 6 o'clock. And we all of you guys, I invited. So God bless you. And I pray that you guys have a wonderful week. And we'll see you next week. God bless.